Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. Here's a question that maybe some have not considered. The question is, who should we pray to? Who should we pray to? We need to know the answer to that question. And a lot of people really don't have an answer. A recent Pew Research Center poll found that 70% of Americans consider themselves spiritual, and 22% consider themselves spiritual but not religious. So they don't really have much of a religion or any religion, but they say they're spiritual. 81% of Americans believe there is something spiritual beyond the natural world. And so these stats show that people are a little bit fuzzy about the specifics of the Bible and don't really know who to pray to. They think that, again, in a lot of cases, that there's something spiritual beyond the natural world, but they're not really sure of what it is. So it's important to look at specific details of who we should pray to. Who should we pray to? Let's look at a few passages today. If you have a Bible handy, it'd be good to get it out so we can look at these together and see what the Bible says about this topic. Let's look at Matthew 6 to start with today. Matthew 6, Jesus Christ giving an example of how we should pray. He taught us about this. And we can read this today, and it gives us great insight. Matthew 6 and verse 9, it says, "After this manner, therefore, pray you, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's probably very familiar to many people because it's often said. But Christ wasn't saying we just need to repeat these words all the time. What he's saying is after this manner. So here's an example of how we should pray. And we're praying to our Father, God our Father. Let's look at John 16. John 16, again, we'll see something else that Jesus Christ said. John 16 and verse 23. He says, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." So we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, but we're praying here primarily to the Father. "Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." And then one other scripture here just at the beginning. Let's look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. The last part there says, "Leaving us an example," talking about Jesus Christ, "that you should follow his steps." So Jesus Christ left us an example in many things, including how to pray. And he said, as we read there in Matthew 6 and verse 9, "After this manner, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven." We're praying to God, our Father. And again, that might seem so obvious and so basic, but just those numbers we looked at the beginning of the program, it shows that a lot of people don't really know who to pray to. They think there's something spiritual out there, but they don't really know. So we need to look at the specifics of this and make sure we understand who we're praying to. Notice this quote from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. It's lesson 14, and it gives a lot of great information about praying. And we don't have time to cover it all today. We're just looking at a little bit here, but it's a free course, and you can sign up for it at thetrumpet.com. But it says, "God the Father protects, provides for, and guides us as we yield to his will. He supernaturally intervenes when we cry out to him for help. We ought to feel a deep sense of personal love for and closeness to him." And again, as we read this quote, you can just think about those numbers from that research poll. people, you know, a lot of them say, well, they feel spiritual but not religious, or they think there's something beyond the physical realm, but they're not sure what. That's so ambiguous. We need to have a deep sense of personal love for and closeness to God the Father. The quote continues and says, this father-son relationship is very personal and intimate. It should be much closer and more real than the relationship we have with our own physical father. Now, that's quite a thing to think about. For those that have nice relationships with their physical fathers, you know, that's a wonderful thing. And they, you know, love them and think about them and talk to them. And, you know, they're very real. But we are to have an even closer and more personal relationship with God, our Father. That's who we're praying to. And yet most people do not have that type of relationship with God the Father. But we can have that. That's what God wants us to have with him. If, again, we yield to his will and we talk to him often in prayer, we have to know who we're praying to, who we're speaking to. And we have to understand that deeply. And this correspondence course lesson gives us a great description of who God the Father is. So when we're praying, this is who we're praying to, and we'll read this description here, and that should help make God more real in our minds. And this is not just something that a person thought up. This is taken from Revelation 4, if you want to read that later. So it's just giving a synopsis of Revelation 4. You know, God revealed this. This is who we are talking to, who we're praying to when we pray to God the Father. It says, the God who sits at the controls of the universe is a living, active God. He controls all power, energies, and forces. He sits on a magnificent throne overlooking a dazzlingly beautiful court-like glassy sea of what appears to be gleaming crystal. Surrounding him on lesser thrones are 24 great, impressive spirit beings donned with crowns of gold, who serve as his counselors. Immediately around his throne are four more spirit beings of even greater office, power, and brilliance. And at his right hand is the living Jesus Christ, our high priest and advocate. Out from God's throne proceed flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder, and angelic messengers going to and from the earth. This is the very throne room of the Almighty God, the ruler and sustainer of the entire universe. And again, you can read about that in Revelation 4. So as we stop and think about that a little bit, hopefully that will make God the Father more real to us. When we're praying, this is who we're praying to. This is where our prayers enter. And Jesus Christ set us the example in this. He prayed to his Father, and he set us an example in doing the same. Satan wants our concept of God to be fuzzy and nondescript. And that's exactly what you see in those stats that we talked about at the beginning of the program, where people have some sort of spiritual feeling maybe, but they don't really know. This is very specific here, what we read. And again, it's a synopsis of Revelation 4. You can go back and read that, and I encourage you to do so. But we're praying to God the Father, and he is in this unbelievably amazing throne room. You know, there's words there to explain it, but it's even hard to picture. But yet it does give us insight. This is who we're praying to when we pray to God the Father. He's our Father, and he sits at the controls of the universe. He can control everything. It's amazing. This is who we pray to, and it shouldn't be fuzzy in our minds. Notice how close our relationship with God the Father should be. Notice how close our relationship with him should be. This is in Romans 8. And this is what God wants. He desires this type of relationship with you and with each one of us. Romans 8, verses 14 through 16. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay, that's a true Christian there, somebody that's being led by the Spirit of God. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know, we're not hopefully caught up in sin where we're in bondage to that, but we're repenting and coming out of that. It says, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Now that should read sonship. Adoption's not a good translation there. That makes it seem a little fuzzy. Like, well, we're adopted. God made us in the first place, and we are his sons. The spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Again, how would you talk to your physical father if you have a good relationship with him? Well, you'd, you know, have great conversations. You'd be talking all the time. You'd be spending time with him, especially, you know, when you were younger. If, you know, then the father's there and very much, you know, raising somebody, raising a child. That's exactly what God the Father wants his relationship with us to be like, even more so, where we cry, Abba, Father. And the word Abba means father. And so it's doubly emphasized there. And we read that in verse 15, you know, crying out to God our Father. But again, if it's a little bit fuzzy or vague who we're praying to, or if we don't have a very clear picture of God the Father and the glorified Jesus Christ, you know, we're not going to be able to have this type of intimate relationship. And again, Satan wants it to be vague and confusing, and you know, there's all sorts of ideas out there about, you know, who or what God is, all of those types of things that just make people confused, but that's not what God wants. He wants us to have a father-son relationship with him. So we have to know who we're praying to. And hopefully as we talk about this, you can see there's a lot of depth in it. I mean, even if we know the actual answer, who do we pray to? And you say, well, God the Father. Well, okay, but there's more to it. There's more depth to it. You know, how close are we to him? Are we close to him like a father and a son? That's what God wants. Notice Matthew 6 and verse 9. We can pick up another point here. We read this earlier, but let's pick up another point from Matthew 6 and verse 9. Again, this is where Christ said, after this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The correspondence course says, when we pray to our Father, we should recognize that he is in heaven, governing the whole universe by the power of his Spirit. When you address the Father, realize that you have a personal audience with the supreme ruler. Think about that. When we pray to God, we have a private audience with the supreme ruler of the universe. You know, if you could go speak to a human being and have a private meeting with him, and he was the person that ruled the world, you'd really think about what you were saying, right? And you'd be very focused on that meeting. People always want a private audience with somebody that matters. Well, we can pray to God our Father whenever we want to, and he controls everything. When you address the Father, realize that you have a personal audience with that supreme ruler. It says people today value a private audience with one of the world's rulers very highly. Think how much greater is our privilege of coming daily to the very throne room of the universe to talk with the ruler over all. Realizing what this means should make us very humble and thankful. That's who we're talking to. That's who we're praying to. It's not ambiguous or fuzzy. This is the ruler of the universe, of everything. And he's happy to hear us and listen to us. Now, again, we're pretty limited in our minds and our understanding of how powerful he is, because we're very weak physically. And a person could say, well, how could he hear everybody's prayers if everyone's praying? Well, he's God. He can do it. He's got ways to do that and to really listen and consider. Humanly, we can't do that, of course, but he can, and he does. He wants to hear us pray to him, and Christ taught us all about that. You can read a lot about what Christ taught regarding prayer. We have a whole booklet on it that brings out a lot of instruction from the Bible about how to pray, and that's a free book at thetrumpet.com, How to Pray. Let's consider David's example. David, a man after God's own heart. Let's look at Psalms 18, verses 1 through 3. Psalms 18, verses 1 through 3. David said, I will love you, O Eternal, my strength. The Eternal is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Eternal, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. See, David knew he needed to be saved. Who did he go to? The ruler of the universe. David was a man after God's own heart. And we see here and in other passages how he addressed God in prayer. How he addressed God in prayer. The Correspondence Course says, this attitude of praise, worship, and adoration is something that draws our attention to the true God. It enlarges our human faculties to appreciate and more fully sense the great being with whom we are communing. See, we have to really stop and think about that. Appreciate and more fully sense the great being with whom we are communing. And just consider what David wrote there and prayed and had it recorded. You know, I will love you, O Eternal, my strength. God's his strength. He said God was his rock. God was his fortress, protected him. God delivered him. God was his strength. He trusted in God. God was his buckler, the horn of his salvation, his high tower. He was worthy to be praised. Do you think that God was fuzzy in David's mind? He was relying on God to be delivered from enemies. Now a person, you know, could be critical and say, well, he was just sort of waxing poetic, and he was a great poet, but he relied on God. You can read all about that history. In the Bible, he had to rely on God to be delivered many times, and he did. And so if someone were to ask David, well, who are you praying to? He wouldn't say, well, I know, it's a little fuzzy. I'm not really sure. He was relying on God to deliver him. And we can have that same mentality, that same attitude, an attitude of praise, worship, and adoration, and really drawing our attention to God, thinking about who he is, who we're praying to, and understanding that we're going before the ruler of the universe, and he has the power to deliver us from anything and everything. We should really value and put effort into our prayers and understand when we pray who we're praying to. Jesus Christ taught us to pray to the Father, to pray to the Father, and primarily that's who we pray to, God the Father. As the lesson brings out, occasionally it's okay to address Jesus Christ as well, but we are primarily praying to God the Father, and we're doing it through the name of Jesus Christ, our advocate and our high priest. And so if you need to understand more about that and about the God family, we have a lot of material about that at thetrumpet.com. But in terms of prayer, we have a great book, How to Pray, and also this lesson of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. It's lesson 14. Please sign up for that course if you have not. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some of your time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.